Good afternoon and welcome to this extended special edition of Saturday with Colm O'Mungoin as we watch the progress of this count to elect the 10th Uachtaráin na hÉireann. Ibhar a dé, we'll be getting to the heart of the action and bringing you the latest from count centres across the country over the course of the next 2 hours. We'll be bringing you analysis as well from political representatives and political observers. And I want to go first to two constituencies with the most skin in the game this weekend, one west of the Shannon and the other skirting the border. John Cook is in Galway West, the homeland of the independent candidate Catherine Connolly. John, good afternoon to you.
Colm, how are you?
Good, thanks. Give us the latest from there and the other constituencies that you're keeping an eye on in the background as well.
I will indeed. The official sorting of votes is getting underway here in Galway West, and the returning officer Marion Chambers Higgins indicating it will take some hours here in Salt Hill and of course across the country to sort those votes and all the spoil votes as well. But I can tell you there have been cheers and celebrations heard here already at the Galway Lawn Tennis Club from many of Catherine Connolly's supporters who were part of the cross-party tally. Now, tallies, as always, Colm, as you know, come with a health warning, and there's a high number of spoil votes in this election, which may have skewed the percentages at times. But what they indicate finally here in Galway West is an overwhelming lead for the local independent candidate, the Galway barrister and former city councillor Catherine Connolly, expected to get around 70% of the vote here. The final tally includes 192 out of 197 boxes and also indicates 16.5% support for Fine Gael's Heather Humphreys, 4.4% for Fianna Fáil's Jim Gavin, who of course withdrew from the race for the Áras, and 8.9% spoil votes, with many of those spoil votes including strong government criticism and frustration, written statements about a perceived poor number of candidates to choose from, and others listing their own preferred names who didn't make the ballot paper, like Garrett Sheridan and Maria Steen. Indeed, a picture of Miss Steen and her well-publicised handbag was actually stuck onto one ballot paper here in Galway West. That, of course, will be counted among the spoiled votes. When Catherine Connolly visited the count centre here in Salt Hill this morning, she told me she'd swam 20 lengths of the pool at Leisureland before she departed here on her bike. She wouldn't be leaving swimming behind, she said, as she spoke of pride that's yet to come because she's heading for Dublin Castle, and of course it's so much anticipated the Phoenix Park as well, in what some are predicting to be her landslide victory as Uachtaráin na hÉireann, our 10th president. She also spoke of a Fís Nua, a new vision for Ireland, Gluaiseacht Nua, a new movement for politics here, as she thanked the opposition parties of the left, independents, and all those who supported her or who didn't vote her as well, she said. Many supporters and relatives here were even tearful, emotions running high as they predicted bigger celebrations to come in Galway later today. In Galway East, Colm, let me tell you that all boxes are open and 82% of them tallied. Catherine Connolly, from that tallied vote there, would be expected to get 63.2% of the vote. Heather Humphreys of Fine Gael, 19.4%. And Jim Gavin, 5.5%. The indication is that you would see 11% spoiled votes there. An account expected as early as 2 p.m. this afternoon, they think, because they have a record of being one of the quickest in the country. But of course, that depends on how long the sorting of all those votes will take place and the adjudication of a high number of spoiled votes as well. In Mayo, I can tell you that 84% of the boxes are tallied, indicating Catherine Connolly on 56% of the vote, Jim Gavin of Fianna Fáil on 6%, excuse me, Heather Humphreys of Fine Gael 24%, and the spoiled vote there in Mayo, the spoiled vote likely to be around 14%, it's expected. And in Roscommon Galway constituency, the final tally is complete, and it would indicate, if these tallies, of course, which I mentioned, are just tallies as we await the official counts, but it would indicate 56.3% support for Catherine Connolly, 6.1% for Jim Gavin, 26.4% for Heather Humphreys, and 11.2% spoiled. That's in the Roscommon Galway constituency column.
Thanks for that, John. So she got in a swim and a cycle. Presumably all she needs is a run there to complete the triathlon now onto the constituency that's home to Fine Gael's candidate Heather Humphreys. That's Calvin Monaghan. Our reporter Una Kelly is in the count centre in the Chagas Agricultural College in Ballyhays County. Calvin, good afternoon to you, Una.
Good afternoon, Colm. Yes, we're hearing that Heather Humphreys is due any moment now here in the County Centre. This is, of course, her home turf, where it is bucking the national trend. It's quite possibly the only constituency in which Heather Humphreys will come out on top. Now, we do have all the final tallies here. There was a strong tally operation being run by Sinn Féin. So for Cavan Monaghan, the final tally is as follows. Heather Humphreys, 59%. Catherine Connolly, 38%. Jim Gavin, 3%. And the spoiled votes here in Cavan Monaghan, 11%. We're also seeing that the turnout from the tally figures appears to be higher than nationally in Cavan Monaghan, a turnout of 51.41%. So Humphreys can take comfort in the home crowd coming out to vote for her. In her home of Drum, for example, she grew up on a farm near there. 73% of people turned out to vote, and of those, around 90% voted for her. She did poll evenly, pretty evenly, across Cavan and Monaghan, while Catherine Connolly did fare better in Cavan than she did in Monaghan. Moving on now to Meath East, the final tally, including spoiled votes. Catherine Connolly, 53%. Heather Humphreys, 25%. Jim Gavin, 7%, while the spoiled votes here in Meath East are 16%. Moving on to Meath West, the final tally. Catherine Connolly, 52%. Humphreys, 26%. Jim Gavin, 6%. And the spoiled votes, 16%. And in Louth, the final tally that we have there, Catherine Connolly, 68.45%, Heather Humphreys, 26.25%, Jim Gavin, 5.3%, and the spoiled votes in Louth in the final tallies, 15.7%. So as I say, we're expecting Heather Humphreys to arrive imminently here at the County Centre in Cavan Monaghan, and we'll bring you any news or any news of her remarks as soon as we can.
All right, thanks very much, Una. We look forward to those updates. Now we'll get a reaction from our panel here in studio in just a few moments, but let's hear first from some of those who cast their ballot yesterday. Our reporter Brian O'Connell caught up with some voters as they left the Blarney polling station at Skull Cree Easa, and this is some of what they had to say, beginning with this man, like many others who'd voted for Catherine Connolly.
No, I just like the woman, and she's perfectly good for speaking Irish, and I think she's a smart woman. She's a fluent Irish speaker, and she's a smart woman.
So that was a big thing for you?
It was very big, yeah. That's why I went for Hotley.
What did you think of the campaign in general?
Rubbish. Desperate hard labour.
Why?
To be ran better there in the school with the children.
What did you think of the campaign in general?
I think it could have been open a bit more to candidates. There was very limited choice, so it was kind of hard to pick one over the other, but it would have been better if there was more choice, more candidates.
And who you voted for, would that have been your kind of where your political persuasion would have been leaning generally?
I don't think so. I think it was more came down to the person's personality in the end and how they came across.
Great to see two strong female candidates.
Made a change to have two strong candidates female in the end. Again, it would have been better if there was four or five in the mix, but these things just happened.
What did you think of the campaign?
I had no idea. I won't lie to you. I didn't even know who the people were. Your man that was there, he'd had to pull a note. I just picked him because he's not there anymore.
You still give him a...
I did, yes.
You give him a stroke.
I did, yes.
You still felt it was important to vote?
Yes. Oh, yeah. God, yeah. Know your vote, your name. If you don't vote, then you haven't got a voice.
What did you think of the campaign?
Very lacklustre. It was two people only. It's a denial of our democracy. There are people who should have been on the ballot and weren't.
Yeah, I agree. I think I feel that the whole process was compromised by the lack of choice. The main parties acted against their own interest because they'd have lost a lot of second preferences and third preferences, with the amount of people that be kind of disaffected enough to stay away or annoyed enough to spoil their votes. So I just think it was kind of not very democratic, you know, in spirit. I know the process was adhered to, and I do believe there should be a screening process, obviously, that not everybody can stand, but I do think there were eligible candidates who weren't given a chance and a fair run.
I watched the two people, only two people in the end, and was terribly disappointed with that. I thought in a democracy, a country like this, that other people would have come through. I blame both political parties. And I blame the system then that didn't allow the people who tried to get through the county council route. I blame them for us not having a whole range of people there today.
Dull.
Yeah. And I'm the best
I put
person.
A line through mine anyway. I put a line through it for...
You spoiled your vote.
I did indeed. I'm proud to do so. I've never done it in my life before. I've always voted for candidates. But this time, I think the establishment have locked us out.
And there we go. Some of the voters who spoke to our reporter, Brian O'Connell, at the Blarney polling station at Skull Crea East, and a pretty accurate summation of what we got in this particular election. Now, we're going to get reaction to all of that from the panel joining me here in studio this afternoon. And remotely from the RDS, we have Dr. Teresa Reedy, Professor in the Department of Government and Politics at University College Cork, Derek Mooney, Public Affairs Consultant and former Fianna Fáil Government Advisor, Cathal Milani, broadcaster and author of How Connacht Voted in 2016, and we're joined on the line from the RDS by Aoife McGowan, National Coordinator of the Youth for Connolly campaign. Aoife, I'll go to you first. You must be very pleased with what's clearly a fairly comprehensive result so far. Take us back to July and the kind of humble beginnings of the campaign. I think you had the combined support of about 15% of the electorate from the parties that were backing Catherine Connolly at that stage when the first pitch was made. But when would you say you got a real sense of the momentum on the ground?
I think we got a real sense of the momentum on the ground from the first kind of weeks of the academic year. So I'm a student at UCD and we were starting the national campaign. We ended up handing out tens of thousands of leaflets across college campuses all over the island, Queen's and UU up in Belfast, UCD, Trinity, Cork, Galway, everyone. And I think right from that first week, there were so many students not only involved in the political party youth wings, but independent students who were so excited to get out and talk about Catherine's candidacy, the vision for a new Ireland, a more progressive Ireland, one where we can kind of see a future here, where we can hopefully own our own houses and live lives that are flourishing rather than struggling to get by.
Could I ask you whether or not a big news issue that cut through to people who aren't normally politically engaged was the issue of Gaza? And Catherine Connolly had clearly been vocal on that. You know, very young people, even below the age of voting, would have been aware of that on social media as well. How much of an introduction was that for your candidate as you went around on the canvas?
I think Palestine and Gaza played a massive role in youth support. There's been a huge movement, obviously, on college campuses around the country for implementing BDS, and I think that did end up engaging a lot of people who would have previously been apolitical or not particularly interested over the past few years. And Catherine has been one of the most outspoken supporters of the Palestinian people in the Dáil and more generally. And I think a lot of people were very excited to get out and canvass for someone who was a champion of the Palestinian people. And even people who weren't involved, that were just getting leaflets or just speaking to on the street, were very interested in her position on Palestine and her being such a strong, outspoken supporter.
So what was your job, Aoife, as the National Coordinator of the Youth for Connolly campaign? What is it that you were bringing to the table and what was expected of you?
Yeah, so we were a grassroots group. We started just with students of people coming together who were involved in the political youth wings of the parties who at that point had endorsed, as before Sinn Féin endorsed. And then when they came in, that was another huge boost with Óga Sinn Féin. But it was all young people around the country coming together, organising, printing the leaflets in Dublin. We were getting them shipped out to them, having calls, and like our social media as well, Youth for Connolly on Instagram, getting like more than 50,000 accounts engaged, hundreds and thousands of likes on all the posts, and getting people to really see the message. I think the social media campaign in particular was massive for young people, because canvassing on the doors, a lot of the times you're speaking to say people's parents who still live at home, and being able to go on social media, you can reach people directly and talk about the issues that directly interest them, like a new vision for housing, the Irish language, Irish unity, and Palestine, of course. And I think that those things all came together, and my job was just kind of making sure that everybody had the bits that they needed to get going. But it was really the grassroots volunteers on the ground around the country of young people who were doing this, getting the groups together independently and just working away non-stop since the start of the college year.
And job done, you'd have to say. Stay with us if you can, Aoife, because we will come back to you. But our panel has been listening here in studio. To you first, Cathal Milani, we got a rundown of that title of your own work, how Connacht voted, and we got some tallies from constituencies there around the country as well. What jumps out at you? We can get into, I suppose, the other stories of the election first, but it's a stunning result for Catherine Connolly. What do you read from it?
I think it's obviously a landmark day for Catherine Connolly and her supporters. I think it's a testament to the campaign that they've run over the last number of weeks and months. I think they've managed the campaign very, very well, and they've harnessed a couple of things that's been really important in getting all that support. I think obviously there's an element of anti-government sentiment out there. I'm interested to hear Aoife speaking there about the impact that younger people have had on this campaign. And it's interesting as well to note some of the issues that some of the voters mentioned in Cork about the Irish language. I think that's something that the younger voters have tapped into, and Catherine Connolly has tapped into as well, and that sense of a cultural movement maybe happening amongst younger voters as well. In a wider sense, Catherine Connolly being into the race early in the summertime, I think, was a help too in helping her harness support from an early stage. And it's been a very clever campaign in that she has started off, obviously, as you mentioned at the outset, with about 15% support, you could say, across various parties. And there's been very key building blocks then along the way with the backing of the Social Democrats and Labour. And I do think, in hindsight, the backing of Sinn Féin at that point was a key landmark moment in this campaign for Catherine Connolly. And all of that has culminated today in what looks like it's going to be a landslide victory.
All right, Teresa Reedy, what jumps out at you from what we've heard so far today?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely the case that Catherine Connolly ran a very effective and a very disciplined campaign over the months. I think she's built momentum in a very kind of careful way over the summer. But I think you also have to say the events that happened kind of ran, they fell in her direction, and she capitalised on those opportunities. So when Fine Gael found themselves having to pick a different candidate, I think when Jim Gavin left the race, she was well positioned to actually benefit from those developments. And so I think her campaign really is excellent. I wouldn't overstate the youth quake, though. Because earlier in the week there's a lot of discussion about the repeal referendums and the marriage referendums, and there's undoubtedly an element of that in her campaign. But turnout is not going to probably break 40% here. So
we don't have any granular analysis of that either.
And so I think we'd have to see more data and more evidence, because Catherine Connolly in the polls was winning in every age group. She was winning in all regions of the country. That's testament really to the effectiveness of her campaign.
According to the opinion polls, she was winning 22% of Fine Gael support. And we just don't know how much of Fianna Fáil support she was winning, but clearly a chunk of that too.
Absolutely. And so I think that, we will know, because we will have a national election and democracy study down the road, and we'll be able to make adjudications at that stage. And it's not to diminish the kind of youth involvement, but I think part of the story from today is going to be the turnout and the fact that so many voters didn't participate in the election, and then kind of buried into that the fact that great proportion of those that did chose to spoil their vote. And so I think today is Catherine Connolly's day. She ran a marvellous campaign. She's had a tremendous victory. But I think there are other parts that will be unravelled over the next couple of weeks.
Okay, Derek Mooney. So she ran the longer of anyone's campaigns. She got to see what issues would come to light about her and dealt with them throughout the course of the campaign. There were still talking points, at the end of the campaign that had been there since the very beginning. But at that stage, there may have been fatigue. She was going to give the answer she was going to give. And after that, it was a pretty positive campaign, which couldn't be said, perhaps, of Heather Humphreys' campaign.
Yeah, I think that's very, very true. I mean, this is what stands out for me from this presidential election is that, unlike the last two, the people who were ahead in the first week or two of us were ahead in the last one. And that hasn't what we've been used to seeing. We've been used to seeing campaigns either imploding, and we saw that obviously with the Jim Gavin campaign, but the poor man wasn't ever ahead. I think the biggest events during the campaign were not involving the two people who ended up in the final count. It was the Jim Gavin implosion. It was the end of that campaign, and that just how much, almost 1 week of the entire election campaign was talking about a candidate who effectively was not going to be at the race at the end of it. And I think that's just a stunning impact on it. In terms of what Fine Gael, the attacks on Catherine Connolly, I think it was a misreading of the mood. The stuff about Hamas, the stuff about the assistant, the stuff would never seem to be landing. It didn't seem to be really hitting. They were trying to drive this on a cycle, trying to get this day after day after day. But it wasn't budging voters. And if anything, it was actually backfiring on their own candidates. It was actually hurting Heather Humphreys, because that isn't who Heather Humphreys is, of a lot of people's experience. So I actually think Fine Gael ran
it. It was giving the electorate the sense that Catherine Connolly was living rent-free in the heads of her opponent without them actually saying, look, this is the alternative vision we're offering. Yeah.
And that's the difficulty, which is, it's if nobody, well, we can come back to it later in terms of preparation for the presidential election and when people started preparing for it. But it certainly looked as if nobody within Fine Gael, and very few people within Fianna Fáil, knew how to run a presidential campaign. That meant that whole sense memory seems to have gone from the two main political parties. And by the way, in terms of, I think a very, very good point was made earlier about Sinn Féin, which is, there must be somebody in Sinn Féin thinking, do you know what, we could have actually won this presidential election by ourselves. If we'd had our own candidate, we could have actually made it. So it's there are so many things to think this. I said four or five months ago that I thought this was going to be a very, very consequential presidential election. And I think it is. Now, I don't think it changes politics forever. I don't think Ireland has suddenly moved and the centre has now moved across. I don't think that's what's happened. But in terms of how political parties do business, I think there needs to be a serious reappraisal on all of them.
All right. Aoife McGowan, we should say, I mean, you're a member of People Before Profit, which is part of the broader coalition that backed Catherine Connolly. But just that final point that Derek Mooney was making there about the parties that have the muscle memory of running presidential campaigns. I mean, the Labour Party among that coalition have the memory of what it's like to run two successful presidential campaigns. I know you don't agree with them on much or on everything, but was that a key element to this campaign, the experience, the match day experience?
I think that this campaign really was led by Catherine as an independent voice with the backing of all the parties. The organisation, like as a whole, like from the youth end and kind of more generally, was really driven by the grassroots and by the volunteers. I think that obviously the experience of parties with running presidential campaigns is hugely important. But I think the thing that won Catherine this campaign and was the through line throughout all of it is that her message was the like number one priority, and that was the number one thing that got through to people is this vision of a new Ireland, of the Irish language, of championing our culture, like we saw with the sold out gig in Vicar Street. Like all of these kind of new campaign ideas that never were present in previous elections, I think are kind of a huge part of what swung it. Just the grassroots nature of it.
I suppose Introducing Catherine Connolly to a potential electorate, you know, people who are politically engaged would have kind of known her as a performer on the floor of the Dáil in the Public Accounts Committee. So she had a profile amongst, you know, politically engaged people. But in terms of introducing her to younger people out on the road, what was the key point of introduction? What was the first issue that caught fire with people when you were out canvassing?
I think the first issue that catches fire with people is her record in the Dáil. Her as someone who has stood up for housing rights. Obviously, she's a TD for the University of Galway, where like one in five students are in emergency accommodation or otherwise homeless. And I think the housing crisis and cost of living crisis are the number one issues for young people as a whole. And just having Catherine's record of standing up for those things in the Dáil, and also her just being a very personable person. Obviously, the solos or keepy uppies were a big thing online. But her record in the Dáil and her steadfast commitment to lifting the voice of the marginalised.
Obviously, she's pretty skilled on the traditional forms of electoral performance as well. Her performance in the TV debates, the sheer number of posters and leaflets through the door as well. But what was the job of work you had to do when it came to encouraging young people to do more than just share the positive material and actually turn up and vote? I suppose we don't know how many of them actually did, but trying to get them to make good on their promise or their indication when you were going around and talking to them.
I think two of the kind of big things we did was we organised Youth for Connolly, a national youth canvass in Dublin on Monday, with over 100 people coming out on the streets, in the biggest streets of our national capital, handing out leaflets specifically that are a plea from young people that we need a new Ireland, that we need to reject a candidate of the government that has gotten us into this state. And then later that evening, we planned the Cure for Connolly gig in Vicar Street, which had like the Mary Wallopers, Madra Salik, Chris Christy Moore, all artists who are really huge champions of our culture and are immensely popular amongst young people. And I think having those artists come out and tell them to vote was another huge step in motivating.
Okay, Aoife McGowan, National Coordinator of the Youth for Connolly campaign. Thanks for giving us that. We're going to take a quick break and we're back in a minute.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
Right, straight back to the count centres. Mike McCartney is in the Adair Woodlands Hotel in Limerick. Mike, Adair won a gold medal at the Tidy Towns competition this week. Are they as efficient counting votes in Limerick City and County as they are in keeping their own town tidy?
A tidy job indeed, yes. The count is underway here in Adair, and earlier, well, Limerick City and County, we look at those first. With 34% of the boxes opened in Limerick County earlier, Catherine Connolly had 53% of the vote, according to the tallies. Heather Humphreys had 30% and Jim Gavin had 6%, and spoiled votes at that stage were at 12%. Now, on the outskirts of Limerick City, Maru recorded Catherine Connolly with 48%, Heather Humphreys with 30% and Jim Gavin with 6%. And of the spoiled votes, well, one had a very strongly worded letter written on the ballot paper aimed at Simon Harris. And according to the tally people, there were 3,799 spoiled votes. The tallies tell us Catherine Connolly will have 14,870 votes, Heather Humphreys with 8,972, and Jim Gavin with 1,833. In the O'Callaghan's Mills area in East Clare, Heather Humphreys received more votes than Catherine Connolly. The Mills is home to the Fine Gael TD Joe Cooney. Here, Heather Humphreys had 94 votes, Catherine Connolly 89, and Jim Gavin 35. All 180 boxes are open in County Clare, and the final tally is Catherine Connolly 61.22%, Heather Humphreys 27.05%, and Jim Gavin 11.73%. Spoiled votes 2,087, and among the names to appear among the spoiled votes were Bosco, Bob Geldof, Willie O'Dea, Enoch Burke, Michael Flatley and Charles High.
All right, some people keeping it retro there. There may be people without even the memory of Bosco out there. Enya Livreshlan is in Letterkenny, standing by. Enya, Donegal, one of the last campaign stops for Heather Humphreys, but it doesn't look like it paid off.
It certainly doesn't. Colm, here in the Aura Leisure Centre in Letterkenny, we have a final tally for the Donegal constituency and the count is underway. We hear it might take an hour and a half. We don't want to jinx that. The figures show the turnout is 37% here in Donegal. Catherine Connolly with 75% of the vote, or 32,690 votes here. Jim Gavin 4%, or 1,781 votes. And Heather Humphreys 21% of the vote, 9,085. Spoiled votes were 6,156, or about 12% of the vote. And as was said there earlier by Mike, there were spoiled votes with anti-government sentiment written on them, references to the lack of candidates, that there was a lack of choice, different names and so on, but quite a lot of them here in the Donegal constituency. And moving on to the Sligo Leitrim constituency, which includes a part of South Donegal, turnout there was 48%, and the tally has finished and the count is underway. Catherine Connolly is on 56% of the vote, according to that tally, or 24,146. Jim Gavin with 5% of the vote, 2,028 votes, and Heather Humphreys with 28% for the Sligo Leitrim constituency, 12,023. And in the Sligo Leitrim constituency, the spoiled votes were at 11%, or 4,769. Therefore, quite a high spoiled vote rate in both the Donegal constituencies and in Sligo Leitrim. But we're waiting now. The counts are underway, and we hope it won't take too long in both constituencies.
All right, Enya, thanks for bringing us that. Now we're going to hear from some more members of the public. We heard from Cork earlier, but our reporter, A.B. Philbin Bowman, spoke to people on Dublin's Henry Street yesterday on whether they intended to vote.
Very unenthusiastically, I'm afraid.
What kind of criteria are you going to use to decide?
Divine intervention, because I still have no idea. Sorry.
No, I walk in the Liverpool shop there. I pay me taxes, and that's going towards a printer, going towards a bike shed. I'm looking at this government now and being like, I don't want to vote for this. I don't want to vote for any of them. So I'm not even registered. My vote goes nowhere, so I'm sorry. I understand the history of it. But if you come around and tell me, oh, you have to vote, that's telling me what to do in my voice. Whereas I'm using my voice to go, hold on, no, this isn't good enough. So everyone's going to take a step back, to be honest with you.
I am enthusiastic to use my vote, but I'm very conflicted on which way I should vote. The way I should vote and the way I might vote are two different things. I do think it's very important that they should speak Irish, and that weighs an awful lot.
There's not much of a range of a vote, you know what I mean? I'll vote, but I'll probably like go for the spoiled vote. Like,
I will vote today by default.
Very unenthusiastic. I'm a traditionalist by heart, but she's a poor candidate for that viewpoint.
I'm not enthusiastic about the vote because I feel like there was so, compared to where Martin McGuinness was going, it's very little conversation about it. And I don't know enough about the candidates, to be honest. I've probably been more interested in the how to spoil your vote conversations as opposed to who I'm going to vote for.
What message would you want to send if you spoil your vote?
Literally just that. I don't feel strongly towards either candidate, and I don't want to be going in and just picking somebody that I don't know enough about to be representing the country, because I feel like I have to.
And that's potential voters or potential spoilers or indeed potential abstainers talking to Aoife Philpin Bowman on Henry Street about their intentions to cast their vote. Now, early tallies from count centres around the country, as you heard, show that number of spoiled votes. It's worth saying that an Irish Times opinion poll in October said the number of spoiled votes would be at 6%. It seems that that is at double figures now. The reasons behind it are open to interpretation, but businessman Declan Ganley was one of those calling for a spoil the vote campaign. He joins us on the line now. Declan, good afternoon to you. Thanks for making the time.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
What do you read into it, Declan Ganley? I know that you wanted people to spoil their vote as an indication of a specific person they would have liked on the ballot paper, namely Maria Steen. But what are you taking from what you've heard and what can be read so far?
Well, actually, I had my message was much broader than that. If you were to look at my Twitter, for example, you would see that that was one of the things I suggested that could be done, but I also suggested others. But much more importantly, what this points to is an enormous dissatisfaction and rejection of this particular process and this ballot. The way that it was rigged, the way that it was curated, the candidates that we were presented with in your vox pop there, that lady said, you know, she really didn't hear enough about the candidates. We had no contest of ideas that you would normally see in a healthy democracy. And that was intentional, because once you had candidates being actively blocked, which is absolutely what happened, you end up with a race that is fake and a debate that is fake, because it doesn't bring in all of the opinions of the country, all of the ideas, all of the voices. And so you have this fake contest of these effectively two runners, well, three, but one dropped out, two runners where, I mean, both who, in my opinion, and in the opinion of obviously an awful lot of people in this country, were both mediocrities, did not impress, and did not merit a vote.
Okay, well, I think clearly
you're asking me for my opinion. I'm giving it to you, and yeah. I'll say this as well. RTE, I mean, it's what, 3-4 weeks ago now when this campaign began, RTE stated in one of the very first pieces that you did on this that a spoiled ballot would be cast aside. Now, they're not being cast aside today. They're being counted. And you never correct... No, I shouldn't say you, but RTE never corrected that. And so this messaging is seen across the country and has produced an unprecedented and historic protest vote in the form of the spoiled ballots that are being counted. Of course, any Gavin votes that are I think you don't transfer.
You may be picking on one broadcast from RTE, but they may well point to, and I'm not a spokesman for RTE, but they may well point to the two Liveline programmes they did specifically on people who were going to spoil their votes and why they were going to spoil their votes. But notwithstanding that, I take your point on board. Using language, Declan Ganley, though, like rigged and fake, do you think potentially people listening might think that that's unnecessarily inflammatory?
No, I mean, I'm certainly people that voted for Connolly or voted the handful of people that voted for Heather Humphreys and for Jim Gavin may think that as well. And I'm sure they will say all of that. The same people that said that casting a spoiled ballot was undemocratic when it's It's profoundly democratic.
It's people's democratic right to spoil their vote if they want it, for sure. It registers their discontent more effectively than simply staying away.
And look, what we see now is that there is a very significant portion of people who bothered to go to a polling station and cast a spoil ballot, plus all of those that just tuned out, that did not even participate because they are so, you know, they are not motivated by the debate and by the competition of ideas.
But people would also say, you know, that the candidate that you favoured was not motivated to enter the competition early enough. The system is the system. It wasn't going to change in this election, so maybe it was time to get the ducks in a row earlier.
Well, let's go back to 1998, to the all-party committee that reviewed how presidential elections are run in Ireland and made recommendations that were never adopted. And they were never adopted precisely because it would have ensured
that was known in January 2025. Anyone who wanted to enter this presidential election race knew
that.
There
was work being done by Gareth Sheridan was out working the councils for a year. The shutters got pulled down on the councils by the two main political parties, Fine Gael in particular. And both Micheál Martin and Simon Harris today have a lot of reflection and thinking to do about bringing about a result that has produced for people like me and like people that spoiled their ballots across the country and others that didn't vote. And
how did you spoil yours, as a matter of interest? If you're willing to share that.
It's not relevant. I cast a spoil ballot. It's counted as a spoil ballot.
Well, it is relevant. I mean, if we're going to look into why people spoil their ballot, then it is relevant.
I spoiled my ballot.
Do you want to tell us how you spoiled your ballot?
I spoiled my ballot by casting a spoil ballot. And the reason that I did it was in objection to a rigged ballot process, a curated debate, a lack of choice on the ballot paper.
I know that, but look, there are people who put an X in all boxes. There are people who wrote...
I put an X in all boxes.
Where will you build... What will be built out of these spoiled votes, Declan Ganley? Because, you know, there will be various interpretations put on why people spoil their votes. We heard a range of reasons in the Vox Pop that was done by Abby and indeed the one by Brian before that. But does it give you any second thoughts about whether it's time to re-enter the political fray and put yourself forward as a candidate or to present your programme of ideas to existing political representatives and say, look, this is how you need to change tack? Maybe you take the issue of whether or not you're prepared to re-enter the political fray first.
Clearly, and by the way, this wasn't a Declan Ganley thing. This was, as you know, a much wider, and you did say that at the intro, this was a much wider movement than just me. I was just one voice of many in it. But from my perspective, and this is me speaking, you know, there is a massive gap on the centre-right in Ireland where it is not occupied by anybody at all. It's fascinating when you see that there was, and this is not casting aspersions at, you know, those that were good enough to nominate, for example, Maria Steen, but only one member out of the whole Oireachtas came out before the vote and called for a spoil vote. Just one out of every single member of the Oireachtas. There's an enormous gap on the centre-right in Ireland that is just not represented by anybody, and that space has to be filled.
Okay, but before I go to our panel, and if you could stay with us, because they may make comments that you may want to respond to, Declan Ganley, in the middle of the campaign, or at the point where Jim Gavin pulled out on October 7th, Maria Steen said, given all that's happened, the better course at this stage would be cancel the election and call a new one. I mean, there was no legal basis for that. Is that a call you backed?
There is a legal basis for it. It's in the Electoral Acts 1992, 1993.
That when one candidate drops out who's potentially going to be on the ballot paper, an election must be cancelled.
No, must is not the word. Can is the word. Okay, that the ability to there. It's the difference between must and can. And in the case of a candidate dying, it becomes must. Yeah, so this is between nominations. And the election itself, if a candidate dies,
Okay, I think Jim Gavin is very much with us. So, you know,
Exactly. But okay. But the point, of course, the thinking behind that is not whether someone's alive or dead. It's whether they're available to be elected president.
Okay, but Jim,
what the legislation did not anticipate was that after being nominated, somebody would withdraw. But the legislation does allow for the minister to intervene and call for a reopening of nominations and a new election. But he didn't do that.
I want to get, but do stay with us, Declan Ganley. Derek Mooney, sorry, you want to come in there?
Yeah, this is dressing tactics up as principles. It's not, but it is possible to believe, as I happen to believe, that the choice was not great, but also believe that this wasn't rigged. We have an electoral process. It's very, very clear. If you go back at one of the most, I won't say successful, because the poor man didn't get elected, but we saw from the Sean Gallagher campaign how that got off the ground. And they started in April. And I've heard his campaign people, be it Richard Moore or Cathal Lee, talking about meeting councillors in April, May and June, sitting down, talking to them, etc. The problem for the main political parties and the two main political parties is that they acted as if they didn't know the presidential election was coming. Now, that's a shame on them, but that doesn't make it rigged. And this nonsense about this is a rigged election, it was this, it was that. People had a choice. The one thing you cannot say...
Do you accept the political parties took a different approach this time? Enda Kenny was a bit more hands-off with Fine Gael councillors in 2011.
Oh, yeah, that's a legitimate point to make. But by the way, political parties are going to look after their own candidates. What did you expect them else to do? And by the way, we've never had as many independent councillors as we have now. But they needed to be spoken to, they needed to be convinced. And you can argue that the choice wasn't wide enough. You can argue that I would prefer there was another candidate from Fine Gael, or I prefer there was another candidate from the left, or I prefer Sinn Féin didn't back a left candidate and had their own candidate. That's tactics. This isn't about a point of principle. And I think trying to dress it up as this, yes, there is a very, very angry centrist voter out there. This is maybe a fallback from the last general election where people said, listen, I'm not wild about the government, but I'm actually less wild about the opposition. That's the nature of politics. Let's fill that gap. But you're not going to do it in a presidential election, and trying to shoehorn it into that was never going to work.
All right,
no, but to then come out and repeatedly say this was a rigged election, this was a rigged election, that's Trumpian. That belongs to another dialectic. It doesn't apply here.
Declan Ganley, you want to respond to that?
Look, this is the self-referencing bubble that we hear coming out of this political cartel that is inflicted on this country for such a long time. And this is what they tell themselves. We almost can't talk to each other. But fortunately,
we're going to have one voice at a time, because we're going to be able to talk to each other a lot better if people don't cut across each other. I'll finish out your sentence there, Declan Ganley.
We had an opportunity yesterday to get heard in the only way that was available to us, which was by casting a spoiled ballot or voting a number one for Jim Gavin, but not giving any transfers.
Okay, you referenced there a political cartel that was imposed on the country. The government of the country was elected at the last general election. And that is the verdict of the people at the last time of asking. Framing them as a political cartel that's imposed on the people is surely a bit strong, no?
I don't think so, because the uniformity on, for example, if we look at policies...
So you're not taking issue now with the result of the last general election based on a popular vote, are you?
I know how I voted in the last general election, and I voted tactically, but I did not vote for candidates that were representative of my values, beliefs and principles. I voted tactically in that election because that's what was available to me on the ballot paper. And a general election is a different thing. The point being that
And you don't believe uniformity. That was possible this time in the presidential election for people to just vote tactically on the basis of what was offered to them?
No, I don't, because the similarities between the two candidates, you had a centre-left progressive and you had a far-left progressive, and if you are neither of those two things, it was a stretch to have to go and cast a vote for one of them.
So in your opinion, Heather Humphreys is the centre-left progressive and Catherine Connolly is the far-left progressive, is that it? Just to be clear to the listeners.
Yes, Heather Humphreys was the campaign director for the Yes campaign only last year. that sought to change the constitution in a very progressive way. So, yes.
Well, there were a variety of opponents to that for a variety of reasons. But, Teresa Reedy, you want to come in there?
Yeah, I think it's just important to say that Ireland is one of the world's oldest democracies. It's had democratic elections continuously for almost 100 years. And the governments that we've had here have been elected by the free democratic will of the people. And I think it's worth saying, because actually there are large parts of the world that don't have the luxury of free and democratic elections and don't have the trust in their electoral processes that we have in Ireland. We actually have very high levels of trust, and a wide range of studies around the world talk about the integrity of our elections. But to pick up specifically on the points that Declan Ganley is making, losers' consent is a critical part of a democratic election. And Declan appears to be rejecting the outcome of a democratic election. Catherine Connolly won this election fair and square. The nomination process was managed exactly through the constitutional standards that were set down and adopted by plebiscite and democratic vote in 1937. You can dislike the outcome, but a critical part of a democratic election is accepting it when you don't get the outcome that you want. Losers' consent is critical, and Declan is rejecting that today.
All right, Declan Connolly.
The spoiled ballot counts, the number one, non-transferable number ones for Jim Gavin, and those that chose to just not participate, a significant number of those, are rejecting this process. And that...
I will let you finish out, Declan Ganley, but I just...
It would be good if you could, because then you break my train of thought and then it's hard to make the point.
My duty is to the listeners, and I need to clarify something on that. The Jim Gavin vote, we don't know what the Jim Gavin vote... It could be what you say, but it also could be very motivated Fianna Fáilers trying to get Fianna Fáil's money back.
Are you finished?
Yeah, that's why I paused.
Okay, thank you. So the point that I was making was that your other panelists there, who are of a similar view on this, do represent a set of thinking in this country. And those that went out and spoiled their ballot are rejecting that consensus. And we need to do... the famous saying of lessons will be learned. Lessons need to be learned from this, because if they are not, that spoiled ballot count, that rejection of what people like me see as a closed cartel, that rejection is going to become stronger and more profound. We need to fix this.
If we had had
Maria Steen on that ballot, we would have a different result today. She would have won this election. Michael McDowell was right in saying that she would have won, and that's why he blocked her. We have Catherine Connolly today because the system did not give us a competition on that ballot.
Well, I mean, look, you're dealing clearly in the hypothetical there, but the I suppose, look, the political parties who acted the way they acted used the existing rules in order to ensure that their candidates were on the nomination paper and... best placed to make their best efforts to win the election. You're a former officer in the FCA, Declan. You know what shaping the battlefield's all about.
I wasn't an officer, I was a gunner. I didn't have time to do the course.
No better man than a gunner to shape the battlefield then. So you appreciate strategy has to apply.
No, it does. It does have to apply. And the tragedy of this election is there was an opportunity to have a real contest of ideas, and it wasn't taken. And the people that are most responsible for that, look, Catherine Connolly supporters, congratulations to them. They got their candidate in and everything else, and they ran. They did very, very well. The fact that, in my opinion, Simon Harris and Micheál Martin went to extraordinary lengths to make sure that no centre-right voice could get on that ballot paper is a tragedy. They've done the country an enormous disservice, and they should be held accountable for it.
Okay, Declan Ganley, thanks for joining.